I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Good to have you here today. I grew up in North Carolina, Billy Graham's home state, and where he died today. Graham's legacy there is massive, and today, with the announcement of his death, he's on the mind of a lot of North Carolinians, not to mention the country. But I also think about all the other countries around the globe where he's brought his evangelism over the years.
From all over Britain, people have come to the final meeting of Billy Graham's Greater London Crusade.
Thousands are turning to God and are finding peace, security, happiness, and joy in this age of uncertainty and confusion.
The cosmopolitan hub of East Africa is Nairobi, Kenya. At a meeting specially held for missionaries and ministers, men and women came from all across East Africa.
I know that you have listened through much difficulty through true translation. But God has spoken to your heart. There are many people today that need to come and say yes.
Love one another. Love one another.
서로 사랑하라.
I say to you as Christians today.
오늘 성도 여러분들에게 제가 말씀드리고 싶은 것은
love one another.
서로 사랑하셔야 됩니다.
And that is the message I want to leave as I go back to America. Love one another in Korea.
That final clip there is from Graham's visit to South Korea in 1973. Graham counseled American presidents going back to Harry Truman, and he met with dictators and royalty. The World's Religion correspondent Matthew Bell joins me now in the studio. So Reverend Graham was 99, the son of a North Carolina farmer, went on to launch this global Christian movement, preached to packed stadiums, reached millions, tens of millions of people around the globe. We just got a pretty good sense of his international reach. What kind of reaction have you been seeing today, Matthew?
It's really an outpouring of just recognizing Billy Graham's career, his life, as just this sort of incomparable figure in global Christianity. You know, he's referred to as America's pastor. He's called a towering figure in Christianity. You see it all over Twitter. You see it in the obituaries today. I talked about this today with Dr. Russell Moore. He's with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission at the Southern Baptist Convention. And Moore said, it's really hard to overstate just how big Reverend Graham was.
Well, I think Billy Graham was uniquely gifted. In my view, he was the greatest Christian evangelist since the Apostle Paul in terms of influence all around the world. But I think behind that was the sense that Billy Graham so obviously believed his own gospel and his own message. And so he spoke with authority. And so I think in a time when many people are cynical and skeptical, not just about religious figures, but about any authority figures, Billy Graham was the real deal.
How do you characterize that saying? I mean, comparing him to St. Paul is pretty huge. How do you sort of point to Billy Graham's legacy, especially internationally?
One can hardly be around any gathering of Christians anywhere in the world, literally anywhere in the world, and not find at least some of them who either came to faith in Christ listening to Billy Graham in person or over television or some other media platform. The sheer ripple effect of his ministry is unbelievable across the world.
I was just watching him, Billy Graham, speak, and I think it was 1994. He had just gotten back from, I think, his second trip to North Korea. And I thought, what a sort of quixotic mission to try to go and talk about the gospel in a place like North Korea, of all places. How do you explain that?
Well, and of course, he was doing that in many places for many years. Billy Graham would go behind the Iron Curtain and preach the gospel in the former Soviet Union and in Soviet states all over the place during the height of the Cold War. And he did so as someone who was completely unafraid of opposition to him, I think, again, because he really did believe that his ultimate accountability was before the judgment seat of Christ. And so he was granted freedom to be able to preach in places that others weren't. But when he arrived there, he never cut the message back. He never tailored it out of fear.
We found some really interesting audio, Dr. Moore, from one of Billy Graham's trips to South Africa.
From what I've already heard, that things are beginning to change in South Africa. I think they have to change, and I think the people realize the change is on the way.
What kind of change are you referring to?
Well, I think that apartheid is not going to work.
In fact, one of the events, they sort of did away with segregation for the time being, and they had crowds that were mixed race, and Graham preached directly about this topic. Did he do that here, too, in the United States?
Yes, he did. He was doing that very early in the era of Jim Crow. And he was doing that in a way that was speaking to the consciences of white Southerners in order to say, if you really believe the gospel that you claim to believe, then that entails the equality of all people created in the image of God. And it entails a common destiny together in heaven, which means that the church should be reconciled and united right now. These are things that were very unusual at the time in which he was making those claims, making those statements. But he had the sort of gravity and authority that people were willing to listen to it.
He got some pushback about that.
He got quite a bit of pushback. Billy Graham received pushback for almost everything that he did. And some people look back and see the fact that Billy Graham is universally loved for the most part right now. But to realize just how controversial he was when he was innovating with new technologies, when he was speaking to integrated audiences, it really at every step of the way, there were people who were coming against him. But he didn't back down. He had a very keen sense of who he was and what his calling was, and so he pressed forward.
That's Russell Moore. He's with the Southern Baptist Convention, speaking there with my colleague Matthew Bell about the late Billy Graham, a remarkable man. Matthew's still with us. And one final note on Graham, Matthew. As I said, I grew up in Graham's home state of North Carolina, and if he came to town to preach, it was amazing the sway he had over people, even people I'd thought of as fairly secular. And that allure, if you were an outsider, if you were Jewish, for example, it was impressive and also a bit overwhelming. And speaking of controversy, I can't forget the Nixon tapes. When they came out, there was Billy Graham pushing the conspiracy of the Jewish control of the media.
Right. You're referring to the tapes recorded in the White House with conversations with the president, Richard Nixon. Billy Graham had become close to him. And the comments are rough. They're talking about Jewish conspiracy and control of the media and control of pornography. Later on, this came out in 2002, I think, was when the tapes came out. And Billy Graham said that he didn't remember saying those things, but he apologized for them. And then in later years, it's interesting that Graham had said in interviews also that he, looking back at the span of his career, which went on for something like 70 years as a public figure, that he regretted being involved in politics at certain points in his life. He wishes he would have stepped away from politics. And that's something that Russell Moore brought up too and said that maybe this is something that Christian leaders need to take account of today.
That's the world's Matthew Bell from our religion desk, helping us remember the late Billy Graham, who died today at the age of 99. Matthew, thanks a lot.
Thanks.